This is Ben Flotinsky, the managing editor of City Journal. I'm speaking with Kay Heimowitz, a contributing editor of the magazine and the author in our winter 2011 issue of an article called Sarah Palin and the Battle for Feminism. Hi, Kay.
Hi.
Maybe we could start by your describing for us the two sides in this battle for feminism.
Yeah. Well, second wave feminism, which is the feminism that began in the 60s and early 70s, was always defined by the expectation of big government answers to the problems of inequality. It's understandable. At the time, they were modeling themselves on the civil rights movement. There was a lot of faith in the government and its capacity to extend rights to minority groups. So they looked to government to pass laws, regulations, that would ensure less discrimination, or no discrimination, hopefully, and that would solve a lot of the problems that women faced at the time. Along comes Sarah Palin and her, well, not just Sarah Palin. I try to write in the article about a lot of the other women who are connected to the Tea Party. Along come these women, and they say, well, now, wait a minute. We don't trust this government. We see what this government has done in terms of running up huge deficits. And why shouldn't that be a woman's issue, too? After all know from running homes and our families that it matters how much debt you're running. So those are the two sides, I think, of the battle, the big government feminists and the new feminists, if we want to call them that, who are questioning the size of government.
Now, is it the case that the Tea Party and a lot of the momentum in the 2010 midterm election, that a lot of the people involved in those elections and a lot of the Tea Partiers were women?
Yes, this is a little understood story, I think, but it turns out that the Tea Party leadership was, if not largely women, had a considerable number of women. One poll estimated that 55% of the Tea Party members were women. A lot of the people who started the Tea Parties were grassroots mothers and small business women and who took to the internet and started complaining about the deficits and trying to arrange to organize the demonstrations, which they did very successfully.
Now, let me ask one, I think, objection to this that a more traditional feminist might make is, sure, a lot of women are involved in the Tea Party, but how does that make what they're saying a women's issue?
Well, this is the question, I think, that cannot be easily answered and that my article really just tries to raise. I think that by the entrance of these new women into politics, by their introducing a new thought, that is, can a overlarge, deficit-ridden government be a woman's issue, has raised the question of what feminism is after all. And we've always assumed, you know, that it had to do with female equality, women finding a place in public life. A lot of that has been accomplished for women. I mean, the women of the Tea Party are no doubt taking advantage of the movement that gave them the freedom to be successful in politics and in public life. But they do, as I say, raise the question of, well, what is this? What is feminism? If the women, these are women who have their own ideas about what the government should be like, and very different ideas than second wave feminists, but who's in a position to say that they are not feminists? This is the big question that a lot of, I think, the more thoughtful feminists are asking.
You talk about that a little in your article as well, some of the online discourse that's been going on among feminists about what exactly feminism means. Maybe you could talk a little about that.
Well, what I was struck by as I read some of these comments after Sarah Palin became such a big name in politics, and especially after the Tea Party women began to exert such influence, what I'm struck with was how unsure people were about what feminism was. You do hear the kind of statement of, well, whatever a woman chooses, supporting that is feminism. Well, that to me is kind of wishy-washy and really doesn't give us much of a sense of what the ultimate goal is for women. I think also people are a little confused about what equality means. I mean, there are an awful lot of terms that get thrown around by feminists in this debate, equality being one of them, women's issues being another, that have never been satisfactorily plumbed, never really completely understood. Does equality mean absolute parity between men and women, that they should be making precisely the same amount per hour on average? Or does it mean equality in terms of choice, that people should have opportunities to choose what makes them happy, which may mean that there will always be discrepancies between what men and women earn? These kinds of questions have not really been thought out by contemporary feminists. There's just a kind of assumption that they know what's best. I'm talking here about more liberal feminists, that they know what's best, and they don't really have to examine these things in too much detail.
I was particularly struck in your article by what I think it was the writer Nora Ephron had said, defining, how did she put it, that you can't be a feminist if you don't believe in abortion rights. That's
right.
The single criterion for establishing yourself as a feminist.
Right. Abortion may remain one of the biggest bones of contention. There are people like Nora Ephron who say that feminism equals abortion rights. There's just no way around it. You can't be a feminist unless you support abortion rights. There are, of course, many women who object to that. There's a long-standing group called Feminists for Life that has opposed it. And I think this is still up in the air. It's kind of hard for me to imagine feminism becoming a movement that doesn't, well, if not equal, at least support abortion rights. But on the other hand, we have seen movement in the polls in terms of support for abortion by women. And those polls indicate that there is some loosening of the hold of abortion. Well, that fewer women are supporting abortion than once seemed to be the case.
Well, thanks very much, Kay. For those of you who are listening, if you'd like to read more, take a look at Kay Heimowitz's Sarah Palin and the Battle for Feminism online at www.city-journal.org.
Thanks, Ben.